For today's short meditation, I'd like to turn your attention to Psalm 25. It's 22 verses in here, and my intention is that a few brothers would read about three verses each. Psalm 25, each of the brothers can just read three verses each. Amen. Shall we just look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this privilege, Lord, to be in your presence, to be gathered as your saints, Lord, as your children, to spend some time listening to you and to bring our matters of prayer unto you. Pray, Lord, that as we sit before your presence, that you speak to us, that you lead us in worship and you lead us in prayer. Guide my mouth, Lord, that you speak through me. We ask and pray all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is a very familiar psalm that talks about David's life. So if you look through the Psalms, one of the things that we all understand about David is he is straightforward. He comes straightforward to the Lord and brings his desire, his prayer, straight to the Lord. In other words, in the way we talk it, he doesn't wait around to or beat around the bush. He is very straightforward. So in this psalm, what David is dealing with is he's got some life struggles. So he's trying to grapple himself with the struggles in his life. He is trying to understand what's really going on, and he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. But David in this process also reminds us that it is important to trust in him. It is important to bring the troubles and afflictions that you and I are going through straight to the Lord, straight to his feet. And that's essentially what David is doing through the psalm. So if you break down the psalm, what you will understand is he starts off the psalm with prayer. And he ends with prayer. So he kind of brings that initial prayer of Lord, I am going through trials in my life. And so he's bringing his supplication, he's bringing his request and making it known to the Lord. And towards the end, we see him do the same. He's requesting, or he is asking the Lord. He is begging the Lord to say, or he's pleading with the Lord that I am in trouble and I need help. But right in the core, right in between all this, we see David, very typical in his Psalms, that we see him reminding himself or sharing with us the confidence that he has. He has this period of trouble, but then right in between that, he reminds himself of who God truly is and what he is capable of. Oftentimes, when we think about our lives, when we think about the struggles we go through in our lives, there are always going to be the good and the bad. There's always going to be times when we will have trials in our lives. But there's always a time period when we can sit down, when we can wait in his presence and ponder and have confidence in him. It is important for us to do that, to remember who our God is, to remember what our God is capable of. The scripture says there's nothing impossible for him. And it is always good for us as Christians to be reminded that, even during the times of trouble, even during the times of trial, to reassure ourselves, to take a moment and think about the good that we've enjoyed. Because the period of trials that we have, the period of difficulties that we have, is but very short-lived. It might seem like an eternity, but it is very small. And that's what David is doing here. And it's a great encouragement for us as well to know that even though David had his times of trouble, he is able to take time and remember the confidence, the strength that he has in his Lord. Verse 1, I'd like to go through all 22 verses as quickly as I can. I'll pick a few to put more emphasis. He starts off by saying, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." David makes it personal in his approach to the Lord. It's not a very generic prayer. And he's upfront about it, as we talked about before. He comes straight to the Lord and says, "Lord, I come before you in prayer." He's making it known as to what he is there for. He is very clear as to what's the purpose of him approaching God. He is bringing his prayer straight to the Lord's presence. For us as believers, it's the same thing. Prayer is not just another routine. Prayer is not something that it's very formalized, where we go to a certain place every day, you sit down at a certain spot every day, or you go before a certain person and you pray. It is not that formal. It is a simple attitude. It's right in you. You approach the Lord with that prepared heart. You approach the Lord with the intent that, "Here, Lord, I am here to pray. I am here to bring my petition to you. I am here to make known my desires. I'm here to make known what I need help with." And David does not come to the Lord just because he's got some specific needs. He comes to the Lord for both the good and the bad. When we think about prayer, it's always important to understand prayer is that first step before you start the second process, which is worship. And knowing our God, he desires worship. For us to be able to worship him, for us to be able to praise him, for us to be able to, just like David, to remember and to be reassured and have that confidence in him, to be able to worship him, we need to start with prayer. We need to have that sense of fellowship with him. Prayer, like we all know, it is clearly that means of communication. It is the way how we communicate to God. When he communicates to us through his word, we communicate back to him through prayer. So making that personal, making that fellowship sweet, becomes critical for us to return the favor, which is worship towards him. Verse 2 says, "Oh my God, I trust in you. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." David is coming straight forward to the Lord. He's saying, "Lord, don't put me to shame. Don't humiliate me." Like Moses reminded God back in the days when God was ready to destroy the children of Israel, he had to remind God to say essentially, "Lord, if you destroy them all, what would the nations around tell about you?" David is straightforward. He's going straight to God and saying, "Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." He's asking God and reminding, Lord, let me trust in you. At the same time, let me not be ashamed. Give me that strength I need. Give me that protection I need. Give me the help that I need. So that when I am before other people, I am no longer humiliated. I don't feel ashamed. He makes it very clear to God. As a believer, there's no reason you and I should be ashamed. There's no reason why we should be ashamed of him or be ashamed of because of him. We trust in a living God. There will be times in our lives, it's very difficult to make that known here in the United States about faith and trust in God. We take it for granted here. But there are nations around this world. We read often, now with the advent of social media, it is very close to us. We can read about it in the social media. How difficult it is for people to proclaim their faith. How difficult it is for people to show their trust in God. But as a Christian, it is a reminder for us to say loudly, to say to God straight, "Lord, I trust in you." Keeping that faith completely visible. Wherever you and I are placed, be it your workplace, be it your school, be it your home, your neighborhood, make it known that you trust in God. And that's a desire that he has. And David is making known that fact. He's saying, "Lord, I trust in you. It's not a secret." Verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path." Just want to quickly read Ephesians 5:8, and I'll move on to the next verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path." Our God is the light. He is the way. And for us to be assured, for us to know that he is the true way, there is nothing secretive about it. There is nothing hidden from his sight. And we understand as Christians sitting here and gathered here that we know that he is our light. And we know that he is our way. And to have that confidence becomes even more important. But there's another piece to it. If we know that he is the light, and if we know that he is the way, then we ought to walk as children of the light. Which means our walk and our day-to-day actions need to reflect the one who we follow. If we claim and if we say publicly that we trust in God, then it becomes important for us to also start to mimic the one who we follow. Walk in the light. Walk as children of the light. After David says that, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths," he goes on to say, "Lead me in your truth and teach me. For For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Lead me in your truth and teach me. That is David's prayer. The first section is concentrated on that. He's asking the Lord to show him the way. Then he's saying, Lord, now I want you to lead me in the truth. I want you to teach me the truth. And that's a good reminder for us. When we approach the Lord, when we approach him in prayer, it is important for us to remember, just like David did, to pray that he will continue to lead us in that truth. That he will continue to teach us that truth. And that's the way we will be able to continue to walk in the light. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. It's beautiful how David constantly brings these things to light. It is, God knows everything. But yet, we see how David constantly brings it to light. He constantly keeps back and says again, remember, O Lord. God doesn't forget. But we see David bringing it up again. He says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses. This is him bringing his plea, but he's coming in with a purpose. He's reminding the Lord of his loving kindness. He's reminding God of his tender mercies. And he's essentially saying, Lord, I need that tender mercies. I need that loving kindness that you have. I need that loving heart. I need that right now. It's his way of expressing the need that he has. And then he goes on to say, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. After David expresses the importance of that, asking the Lord for his tender mercies and loving kindness, now he's saying, Lord, all right, I need that tender mercies. I need that loving kindness. But here's why. I don't want you to remember the sins of my youth. I don't want you to remember my transgressions. With your mercy, according to your mercy, is what I want you to remember me. He is pleading to God for help. Just like us as believers, even though we are Christians, even though we are born again, we have sins in our lives. And we should approach the Lord with that thought is, Lord, do not forget, do not remember those transgressions. He's already paid the price of our sins. On that cross, when he paid that penalty, when he paid that price, it was taken care of. So we come fresh. And David is using that same approach. He's kind of saying, Lord, with your mercy is how I want you to approach me. I want you to look at me through that lens of mercy. I want you to help me through that lens of mercy. And as believers, it's a good reminder for us. Even though we might have difficulties in our lives, even though we might have times in our lives where we fall away, where we sin, we have that right, that authority to come into his presence. And the Lord in his mercy will forgive us of our sins. He is already interceding for us. And we have that right to come into his presence, asking for that forgiveness and be able to restore that fellowship. Verses 8 through 10 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. The best teacher there is our Lord. He is the way, he is the light, he is the best teacher. And because we have that Christ, our God, as our teacher and as our way and as our light, we can boldly come into his presence and look to that perfect person. And our entire life, our entire walk on this earth has got but one purpose, which is be like him. Be Christ-like. And that's where that point comes across. Knowing who Christ is, knowing that he is the way, that he is the light, and that he is the best teacher, He is the one that can mold us. He is the one that can bring us to become like Him. Let me quickly move down to verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. David is using another style here. He's again going to the Lord and saying, Lord, for your name's sake, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. David doesn't come into the Lord's presence saying that he is a great man. David doesn't come into the Lord with pride. Instead, he comes to his presence with humility. And he comes with that humility that the burden of sin is weighing heavily on him. And he's saying, Lord, forgive me. Take care of my iniquity so that I can boldly come into your presence. So those are the confidence statements that David is approaching the Lord with. Verse 16 says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Again, David is coming to the Lord's presence with this plea and saying, turn yourself to me, O Lord, have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. We see the importance of humility in David's life. As a believer, it's always important when we come into the presence of the Lord, we come just as we are. There's no need to sit there and explain all the good things we've done in our lives. He knows it all. But when you approach His presence, just bare yourself. He knows who you are. He knows your inmost parts. He knows exactly what type of life you live. He knows exactly what type of troubles you have. So it's important to have that transparency and come into His presence just like David does and says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have iniquity. I have problems in my life. Proverbs 2 verse 7 says, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. David is using that same process. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Verse 21. Verse 22, where it says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. We see David is approaching God with that heart of a humble person, a broken heart. And he's able to come to the Lord in prayer, bearing himself. There's nothing that is hidden from his sight. And he comes to the Lord with the intention that my God is great and He knows everything. He is the way, He is the light, and He is the teacher. So just as David did, coming to the Lord's presence with that prayer, knowing that even in the time of trials or during times of trouble, to have that confidence in Him. And as we approach Him, have that confidence that He knows it all, but He still is there to listen to each one of our pleas. We don't need to hide anything from Him. Being transparent in His presence, that's the first step of that worship, where we can pray in all boldness, have that fellowship with Him. And once that fellowship is strong, then we are able to worship Him, which is that pleasing aroma unto Him. May His name be glorified.